Excuse me.
Sie hören die Sendung Wellenlänge. Vous écoutez la transmission Longueur d'onde. Udite la trasmissione Lunghezza d'onde. You are hearing the transmission called Wavelength.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm William English, and this afternoon I am in conversation once again with Captain Maurice Seddon. Maurice, can you hear me all right?
I'm hearing you very faintly because I'm getting increasingly deaf in my old age.
Right.
You can step up the level. It would be a help.
Yes, OK. I'll just try and increase the output a bit. How's that? Is that any better?
A bit better.
All right.
Can you get it any better still?
Well, no.
whom am I speaking to?
I'm William. It's William English here.
If you were or were not.
Yeah, no, that was the previous person was an engineer. So how are you today?
Oh, as well as can be expected, you know, from my medical problems.
Yes.
On the whole, in one piece.
Yep. Now, you had a court case, I think, coming up, didn't you? In fact, on this programme, on several occasions, we've discussed the issue you have with your neighbour about barking dogs.
Yes.
And I think the final sort of, or the last, what should we call it, stage of this development was that the local court, the Royal Borough of Windsor and Maidenhead Council, had taken out an injunction against you in the High Court on the Strand.
That's quite right.
Yes, and that was set for June the 16th.
That's so.
And this injunction would be, in effect, to force you to either reduce the amount of dogs you have or actually remove them altogether.
Indeed.
Yep. And what else was there? There was something else. Oh, yes, they would then... How much were they going to charge you? I mean, how much would the court costs have been?
Oh, well, if it goes to court, I received a document from the Royal Borough of Windsor and Maidenhead about 4 days ago, and if I can find it, which I can't, I would have read it to you. Wait a minute, I may yet manage to find it. Well, I have found it. Hang on. It reads as follows. Schedule of estimated costs. Royal Borough of Windsor and Maidenhead and Captain Retired Maurice Seddon. And then it has solicitor's costs, £4,500. Now, please note there is no pound sign there, but I presume that they mean it to be pounds.
Yes, it's not euros yet, no.
Sorry?
It was not in euros yet.
No, it's not. And then under that comes, first the solicitor's costs, £4,500. Then underneath that, counsel's cross, C-O-U-N-S-E-L. That would be the costs of the barrister, mm-hmm. £23,000. And the two added together come to £27,500.
Right.
And that is if it goes into the court. If it stops short of the court, I can't tell you what happens. I don't know.
No.
In addition to all that, if I lose the case, I shall be I think probably bankrupted, because I've got to pay debts of several thousand pounds as penalties in connection with previous court hearings.
Right, right.
So it's the most disastrous thing that I've ever experienced in my life, and it's nothing that I have created. It's something that has been wished upon me by my... I forgive my being blunt. My ghastly neighbour...
Don't mention his name, by the way.
Well, I have a ghastly next-door neighbour who arrived here 7 years ago. I've been here 52 years, or 53. And from the beginning, he has caused me nothing but trouble. And his method is to use the law against me.
Yeah.
And he is so skillful and cunning that he's managed to persuade matters so that the Royal Borough of Windsor and Maidenhead Council are the people who are bringing the action against me. And he, my ghastly neighbour, doesn't have to spend a penny. So the result is that the £27,500 will be charged to and paid by the Royal Borough. But over and above that, there are many thousands of other ancillary expenses connected with this ghastly trial.
Mm-hmm. And what is he actually, what does he want?
What does he want? Well, I wish I knew. Hmm. What he says he wants is that my dogs must be silent.
Right.
They allegedly disturb his sleep, and I'm in the process of collecting little helpful letters from neighbours round about, confirming that their sleep is not disturbed by my dogs.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I suppose about a couple of weeks ago, I sort of, what did I do? I decided that perhaps I could help you by becoming what's known as a Mackenzie friend to you.
Yes, indeed.
And for people that don't know what that is, it's someone who can, because you can't afford legal representation, can you?
I can afford a solicitor, and far less can I afford a barrister.
But people can be helped in court with something called a Mackenzie friend. Which apparently it was called this after a divorce case in the 1970s when an Australian barrister was enlisted to help somebody, but he wasn't actually legally entitled to speak in an English court. So all he could do was sit next to the client and pass notes over. And ever since then, this sort of operation has been called a Mackenzie friend. So somebody can sit next to you in court and pass notes or offer advice, but without actually addressing the court.
That's how it works. Well, that's very interesting. I've never heard that historic background.
Yes. Yeah, so in effect, that's sort of what I am at the moment, isn't it? I've become your Mackenzie friend,
yes,
in a way.
That's right.
Even though I have absolutely no legal experience whatsoever.
Well, you know a lot more about the legal situation than I do, I can assure you.
Well, what we did was we applied for an adjournment of this case. The case was set on June the 16th, which is coming up very soon. And at that point, you might have been liable for, well, £27,000, and you would have lost all of your dogs if they win the case.
Yes, indeed.
So we made the application, and I went along to the Royal Courts of Justice this morning and went to the Queen's Bench Division on the Strand. And I was seen by, ushered in to the court, and before the Honourable Mr. Justice Mackay. And there was nobody there from Windsor Council, as it happens, which I think was... what's the word? Auspicious, perhaps.
Auspicious?
Yes, I think so.
Good.
So, anyway, I've come away with this document, which says, an application was made by the applicant in person for an order to adjourn the hearing on the 16th of June 2010. And upon hearing Mr. William English, the Mackenzie friend of the applicant, with the respondent being neither present nor represented, that is, your adversaries, and... the other side.
Oh, yes.
The Royal Borough of Windsor and Maidenhead were not there.
And
the judge, having read the written evidence filed, it is ordered that the hearing listed on the 16th of June 2010 is vacated to be relisted on a date to be fixed between the parties. So, in effect, Morris, it's been adjourned.
Well, that's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, so that's must be a relief.
Answered.
So you can tell the dogs that they won't be taken away yet.
Sorry?
You can tell your dogs they won't be taken away yet.
Well, thank God, my poor dogs. I would feel so terribly guilty of really betraying them if I have to part with them. They're my only dear companions and friends.
Yes.
But you've done a wonderful thing there. Wonderful. Thank you very much.
That's all right.
And we don't know any detail at all as to when it's going to happen now, do we?
It's a bit vague on that score, but certainly not for a few weeks anyway.
Yes, I see.
So that gives us time to sort of reassemble evidence and so on. Would you be willing to compromise at all? I mean, would you be prepared to reduce the amount of dogs you have?
Well, you see, if I'm really forced to it, I would give up all but three, as we have already discussed.
Right.
But I would make it clear, both now and also in written form later on, for all to read, that I only do this under the duress of the, whoever they are, the Royal Borough of Windsor and Maidenhead. It's under their duress that I do it, and I consider that they are doing it in a matter which is cruel, unkind, inconsiderate, and tyrannical. And I think those are the correct adjectives for feelings against the council.
Right.
And I think it's most unfortunate that they've chosen to back this ghastly neighbour of mine, who, as I understand it, is the sole complainant.
Well, as mayors, that's right. I mean, you do have letters of support from other neighbours, don't you?
I have some letters from neighbours coming in.
Yeah.
Some I've got already, others are on their way. One of them...
...in person for an order to...
...my nose in the letterbox. I was told that, and I haven't yet been to the letterbox to bring it in. So that may help a bit.
Yeah. And it's worth pointing out or reminding listeners, I suppose, that you actually live at the end of the Heathrow flight path, don't you?
Yes, I do. And I'm overflown incessantly with very low flying, enormous aeroplanes and a thunderous noise.
Yeah.
Shapes upon the whole house.
Right.
And sometimes...
Mr. William
every
English, the Mackenzie friend...
50 or 45 seconds. Sometimes it's at intervals of 1 minute, 1.5 minutes, that sort of thing. And it goes on all day long and into part of the night.
Right.
And by comparison with that noise, my dog's barking is just a joke.
You
can't even hear them.
So in a way, it's sort of extraordinary that this person chose to live there, in a way, if he's looking for a peaceful life.
Well, I take the view that this ghastly neighbour of mine, either he did something which was either irrational, in which case he's really a sort of lunatic, or alternatively, he did it with some hidden nefarious intent, a secret intent. Now, what he did was this. I've lived here 52 years. He came here 7 years ago, and he apparently looked around and found the house right next to mine, and elected not... Oh, very important. In my considered opinion, he is a dog hater and a dog fearer. In other words, he fears dogs. Now, how on earth can such a person be so stupid, if it is stupid, as to buy a house right next to a pack of dogs? So either it was lunacy or... This has been done with a special ulterior motive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the following, I have no evidence whatever. I merely have it as an allegation. But it is an allegation which is made independently by a number of my friends in the matter. And I'm bound to say I think they're probably right.
Mm.
That is that at the bottom of all this, the real true base to the thing is the fact that this ancient cottage sits on a very large parcel of land, big enough to accommodate a small estate of houses.
Mm.
And the probability is that this is all aimed at kicking me out of here so that these unnamed persons are able to acquire the site, and then they can all become multimillionaires through their development.
Mm.
Now, I don't know if that's right or wrong, but it does seem to me to make very good sense.
Well, since you've, I mean, quite recently, there used to be a pub next door, didn't there?
Yes, that's right.
And that whole thing has been completely flattened and replaced by a Tesco supermarket.
That's right.
So you have that on one side.
The building hasn't been flattened, it's been renovated.
Oh.
But it is a Tesco, whatever they call that. It's not a big Tesco. It's a sort of miniature Tesco.
Yes, well, like a sort of an express. I think they're called Metro Express or something like that, aren't they?
Oh, something I forgot to tell you, which is perhaps important. There was a telephone call. I have a note somewhere of the time and the day. Now, my memory being bad, I can't tell you whether it was yesterday or today. But anyway, either way, there was a telephone call from an unknown man who asked me, who said he wanted to buy Datchet Cottage, which is this ancient crumbling building. And I said very firmly, it is not for sale, and put the telephone down.
Really? When was this?
Well, it was either this morning or it was yesterday. I'm not sure which. And I have written it down somewhere.
Right.
Where I put my note, I don't know. What I wrote down was simply the time of day and the date of the call.
Right.
So it's rather interesting that that should happen at this particular moment.
Yes. But you actually don't own the house, do you?
No.
It's quite... You're in a sort of fairly unusual position in that you can live in the house for as long as you live, basically rent-free.
That's quite right.
And it's quite a sort of... I have to say that it's fairly dilapidated, isn't it?
It is very dilapidated. Indeed, it's rather like me. It's all crumbling and falling to bits.
Yeah, yeah.
And tilted at all possible irregular angles. Slanting this way and that. But it's a delightful, cosy old cottage. I love it. And it was made over to me by a very well-disposed benefactress who died something like 20-odd years ago, and more than 20 years, I think. Anyhow, she arranged matters in such a way that her son is shown as the owner of the premises, and I am shown as the owner for life, which simply means that I can treat it as if it were mine until I die, and then I cease to have any... My nachlass,
I don't know.
My will
doesn't
contain the house because it is not mine to pass on to anybody.
Yeah.
It reverts automatically to the full-time owner.
Right.
Now, one of the conditions of that is that I continue to be in residence in this building. And if I leave the place, I lose my tenure.
Yeah.
So in effect, I'm tied to this house until my death. What is now going on with this dog situation is likely to explode all that, because these people are trying to take my dogs away from me. They are my only guardians, and they are my only sole loved and loving companions.
Yeah.
And they're trying to take them away from me, allegedly because of the barking. If they succeed in getting an order against me to take the dogs away, I shall cease to be able to live in this house, because I have a great deal of ongoing trouble, which I've had over the 53 years I've been here. And this is caused to me by the antisocial elements of this neighborhood. So, the dogs, if they go, are no longer there, and they are my sole defense against these onslaughts, of which there have been umpteen over the years. The police have never done anything about it. They wash their hands of it. Furthermore, the police, I have to tell you, very regrettably, but it's true, if I had money, I would sue the police and the council. The police have stated, and I think I'm right in saying that I have it in writing somewhere, that I am inventing and or imagining these antisocial elements, and that there is no problem here, that it doesn't exist. It's a wonderful way of getting out of doing anything, because if it doesn't exist, they have nothing to do about it.
Right.
If, on the other hand, I'm compelled to get rid of the dogs by this action, I then can't live here anymore, and that then means that I become homeless.
Right.
But I don't pay any rent here, and I'm very poor, and I have no money to buy or rent another house.
But you have recently agreed that you might reduce the amount of dogs, which is a sort of change of heart on your part, isn't it?
It is very much a change of heart, but as I said just now, it is only done under the severe duress on the part of the council, who I consider being very inconsiderate, very unkind, quite ruthless. I have no adjectives adequate to describe them.
Hmm.
They are hateful people.
Right. All right, Maurice. Well, perhaps on that note, we'll leave it until the next time. At least it's adjourned for the time being, so you and the dogs can rest easy, even if the neighbour can't.
Thank God.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And
the best to you.
We will speak soon.
Sorry?
We will speak soon.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah. All right.
The best.
Bye then. Bye.
God be with you.
Well, that was the ongoing saga of Captain Maurice Seddon and his dogs. And just a bit of public information. Coming up this weekend and for the following week, this might be of interest to book lovers. There are a whole swathe of antiquarian book fairs starting on Sunday, 10 o'clock at the Royal National Hotel, Bloomsbury, and followed at 12 o'clock at the Russell Hotel, our two book fairs. And then the following weekend, the London International Antiquarian Book Fair on Thursday the 3rd and Saturday the 5th of June at Olympia. And one rather odd one called the Hand and Flower Antiquarian and Fine Book Fair. That's at the Hand and Flower Hotel, Hammersmith Road, Wednesday the 2nd of June and Thursday the 3rd of June. So second-hand book collectors, this is your week coming up. And so we'll play out with some tracks by Adolf Wolfli. And these are from the Sub Rosa CD, Musique Oblique. Thank you.
104.4 FM.
Thank you very much.